for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
I don't want to have a deceitful tongue. I don't want to lie and manipulate to get my way and tell. I don't want to have a deceitful tongue. I don't want to have a vile, guileful tongue. I want to live long on the earth. I want to refrain my tongue from evil and my lips that they speak no guile, so that I will love life and see good days. And then it says, we'll lie down, we'll feed, and we'll lie down, and nobody is going to make us afraid. Amen? I want that. And then you're right there. Look at Haggai. This is another wonderful, wonderful, wonderful description of the remnant. You're familiar with this situation. They're rebuilding the temple. They're allowed to go back, and they're rebuilding the temple in Jerusalem. Haggai chapter 1. Verse 14. Verse 14. And the Lord stirred up the spirit of Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, the governor of Judah, and the spirit of Joshua, the son of Josedek, the high priest. Now listen to this. And the spirit of all the remnant of the people. Okay, what is it saying? It says that the Lord stirred up the spirit of all the remnant. Everybody say remnant. The remnant of the people. And they came and did work in the house of the Lord of hosts, their God. I'm telling you something. The characteristic that is going to show the remnant are they're going to be the workers who come to work in the house of God. They're not concerned with their own houses. There's nothing wrong with having a good house. We've got one. There's nothing wrong with that, but basically they're not going to be concerned with their own affairs. They're not going to put their own affairs, their own comfort, their own ease in front of doing the work of the Lord. The Spirit of God is rising upon a people, calling the remnant forth, and the remnant will all be involved in the working process of building this glorious kingdom and this glorious house. And the Bible says that the glory of this latter house shall be greater than the glory of the former. Amen? And I believe it with all of my heart. But I want to tell you, you look at those Christians and examine yourself. Those Christians who are too lazy to be a part of the building process, they will not be a part of the remnant. As a matter of fact, their laziness, their uninvolvement in the building of this glorious house that God is building, their uninvolvement just proves that they're not part of the remnant. They're too busy doing other things. There's nothing wrong with having a hobby. As long as it doesn't take your attention away from God. As a matter of fact, you know what an idol is? An idol is anything that draws your attention and affection more than God. Amen. Oh, I like to watch an occasional football game, you know. I like to go fishing occasionally, and deer season comes in, and I'm a hunter. I like to hunt. You know, I have some things I like to do, but my heartbeat is the house of God. My heartbeat is the people of God and building this kingdom. I'd rather do that than anything else. That's my heartbeat. I have a job, you know. I make hay. I do things that I have to do. But my heartbeat, my mind is constantly stayed on the Lord and how I can be more useful to Him. Anybody who's a part of the remnant is going to be like that. If they're not like that, they're not part of the remnant. They can become part of the remnant, but they're not right now. Amen. Praise God. In closing my part of this, I mentioned the other day the winnowing fork of God. If you want to see that, go to Matthew chapter 3. John the Baptist, and Jesus said this was the greatest prophet. He said he was the greatest prophet at one point. And yet he said the least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than him. Isn't that something? But anyway, this is what John the Baptist said about the ministry of Jesus Christ. Verse 11, Matthew chapter 3. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance. But he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Praise God. There's two baptisms right there. not only going to be baptized in the Holy Ghost, but there's going to be a purifying fire. And I'll tell you something else. That fire is not only going to purify you, but it's going to fire you up. Some of you wonder, how do I get a crowd? How do I get people to want to listen to me? I've got the gospel and I want to share it. Well, I'll tell you like John Wesley told some of his young men. He said, get on fire yourself. People will come watch you burn. I want to be, you know what baptized means? It means immersed. When you were baptized in water, you were immersed. Should have been anyway. When you were baptized in the Holy Ghost just, you were immersed. He's not only on the inside, he's all over you. And he's flowing off of you and out of you like a mighty river. Well, you need to be immersed in the fires of God. He is a consuming fire. But now look at this. It says, whose fan is in his hand. That word fan literally means a winnowing fork. A fork. I've never seen one, but I've got a mental picture of what it must have been. Some kind of fork that pitched grain, wheat or whatever, into the air, in the face, into the current of a condensed force of air, and it blew the chaff out. And the pure grain fell back to the floor. It says, the Word of God says, whose winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will thoroughly, you ought to underline that word thoroughly, thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner. And he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. Now, true, this is yet to happen on the great and awesome day of the Lord. But this is happening right now in the house of God. He's judging the house before he judges the world. He's judging us now. Right now, the winds of God are blowing, and they're relentless. They're blowing with gale force, hurricane force, and we must submit everything we are to that wind. And God is going to pitch you in the days to come, and already has been. He's going to continually be pitching you into the face of this wind so that the garbage will be seen. It's kind of like heating the metal so the impurities can come to the top and be skimmed off. Well, you're going up under that wind, and it's going to reveal things in your character that are ugly. And this is it. I promise. Okay. Are you all right? You're still with us? You ready to hear Glenn? Yeah. Amen. All right. Praise God. Winnowing forks. What are they? The winnowing forks of God are the circumstances and situations that arise in our lives that are unfavorable. Often, that pitch us into the face of this wind. Let me say that again. Circumstances and situations, sometimes relationship problems with people, that pitch us into the face of the winds of God so that the chaff will be revealed. All right? What are some of these things? What is God after? The chaff. The pride. What are you going to do when you have to sit down at an inferior seat and someone you think you're better or smarter than gets the recognition? What are you going to do when you're dismissed from some position or something is taken from you that you hold dear and you think that you deserve and it's taken from you? What's your reaction going to be? What are you going to do when you're overlooked and you think you shouldn't be overlooked? God's looking. He's looking. Is he seeing pride? Is he seeing a striving there? What are you going to do about money? What are you going to do if all of a sudden you're strapped financially? Are you going to go and work that second and third job and allow that to take you out of the things of the kingdom of God? Or are you going to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness? God's looking to see your reaction. When that happens to you, God's winnowing you. Is there chaff? How about commitment? How about commitment to the building of the kingdom of God and the people of God? Do you have too much? Are you spending too much time hunting, playing, working, three jobs, so you don't have any time to go to church? You don't have any time to be a part of the people of God? God's winnowing you by circumstances and situations that will challenge and test your commitment. Ethics and honesty. We all have a chance to cheat. Every year at income tax, we could all try to cheat. I picked up a jack one time I shouldn't have picked up. It was a little bottleneck hydraulic jack. I was a Christian. There had been a farm sale, and I rented this farm. The farm had changed ownership, and they'd sold everything on the farm. Everything on that farm they sold. And I was up there 2 or 3 days later making some hay, and I went into this little building, and there was a little jack there. And I thought, I need that. I need a little jack like that. And they had the sale, and the new owner, he doesn't know that it's here. He lives two states away. And they sold everything, and they left that. They probably thought it didn't work. And so I just, nobody knew it was missing, so I just took it. And boy, the Holy Ghost got on me, and the conviction came. See, legally, that little Jack belonged to the new owner of that farm. But I tried to dismiss that, and I got all the way, almost all the way home, maybe all the way home. Maybe Darlene remembers. See, if your heart doesn't condemn you, you have confidence towards God. I didn't have any confidence toward God. My heart was condemning me. My spirit man was just cringing in conviction and knowing I'd done wrong. I said, I got to go back, Darlene. We had company coming that night and everything. And I got back out in my pickup truck, and I drove the 6 miles back up to that farm, and I put that jack down. And the very second I put that jack down, the joy of the Lord hit me, and the Lord's hand came to rest on my shoulder, and he said, "Son, you passed the test." At that point, even that seems little, I was being pitched into the face of the trying winds of God. And chaff was blown out of me, and you know, God changed my life and ministry from that day forward. Things began to happen. He's always doing that. Sexual testing. I mean, I'm not just talking about Playboy magazine and Penthouse. I'm talking about the lingerie section in the Sears catalog. God is looking. He's winnowing you. It could be small temptation or great temptation. God's winnowing you. He's checking. If you don't pass the tests, you might not be a part of that remnant. Teachableness. What happens when you're an older Christian who's been walking in the Lord for many years and seen great victories, and some young whippersnapper comes up and tries to tell you something that you already know? Or what happens if someone comes up and corrects you? How do you respond? In graciousness? Or in pride and arrogancy? God's looking for these things. He doesn't want us to be like that. Changeability. What happens when God says, "All right, you've been doing it this way for 35 years. All of a sudden, forget that. Do it this way." "Well, I'm not going to change. We've done it this way for 35 years. Big deal. Who are you serving? The cloud's moving. That's right. Move with it. There are many people right now, many people that are being left out. They're being left out of what God's doing today because they won't change. Many great men and women of God have gone back into obscurity because they rejected something fresh and new that God was doing, and in a new way God was directing. So these are just some of the ways that God winnows us as he prepares us to be part of the great remnant. It's for our good. This cleansing, consuming fire who is called our God is preparing a mighty remnant to be a part of the last day army that will go out and wreak havoc on the enemy kingdom and set the captives free. And that's going to be you, and that's going to be me. Amen? I'm excited. How many of you are part of that remnant? Amen. Praise God. Praise God.
This happened to me the other day. He was preaching the other night, you know, and I just started getting excited. And it makes me want to say something. I want to give you an example that has really helped me. Just really helped me. Let me get this. This is just for example. Okay, I teach kids, and I'm a visualized person, and I like to have something I can sink my teeth into and hold on to. Okay, if you can imagine a cord that starts at the North Pole, okay, and it stretches down through Canada, down through the United States, comes right down through this room, which weighs north. Okay, comes down through this room and goes down through out down south all the way down to the Antarctic. Okay, can you imagine a cord that is that long? I mean, that almost boggles your mind. That cord in relationship to the earth is eternity. And this much of the cord compared to all the rest of it, this much amount of the cord is the amount of time we spend on earth. But did you know that this much of the cord determines, this much of our life determines the rest of our eternity? See, what we do here on earth, either being part of the remnant or not, determines our eternity. And to be perfectly honest, when you are faced with the choice, heaven or hell, like Chip said, you have to be a lunatic to choose hell. We need to come to realizations in our lives. When we sit down in front of the TV, and I'm not saying TV is bad. I'm just saying that whatever you put in front of God is truly an idol, whether it's TV or anything else. And when you are sitting in front of the television or whatever you are doing with your time that is taking you away from God, you're letting the devil rob you. And you are determining your eternity. You're determining your eternity. And we can't afford that. And I just pray that we all get a good, healthy dose of the fear of God.
Amen.
I mean, we need God to anoint us with some fear so that when we say, well, I could do that, and then you think it wouldn't be pleasing to God, but he'd love me anyway, we'd think it won't be pleasing to God. Uh-oh. You know, do not want to go that way. I want to go this way. You know? One more thing. When Bruce and Jakin were little, I'd tell them no. You know, they'd be in the living room, and I'd look in, and they'd be pulling all the leaves off the plant on my coffee table, you know. And I'd go in, no, don't do that, you know, smack, 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 you do it again, no, 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 no. And then I'd go outside in the hall, and I'd hide behind the door, and I'd look in. You know, and of course, you know, the devil rises up on them, a little bit of self-will, and they go over and they get ready to pull that leaf off of there. Ha! Caught you, you know. No! See, we need that. We need some of that, you know. We should be afraid of displeasing God. We need that stirred up on the inside of us. I mean, who do we think we are? We need to please God. Not only does he say, "Good, well done, good and faithful servant," but I'd be glad if I didn't even get a well done. You know? I just, come on in. Thank you. You know, I appreciate that.
I tell you, we need the fear of God. That's right. We haven't been taught, we don't have a fear of God. And we need a fear of God. You know, Skip has been giving us a Chip. Chip. I say Chip part of the time. Part of the time I say Skip. I mean Chip. Anyway, he's been giving us some definitions of a remnant. There's another definition to a remnant. A remnant is the first little scrap of material that they cut off of the end of a bolt of material. And on the beginning, why, they're maybe cut off only 6 inches. So they get a straight line there on the beginning of the bolt. But then when we come down to the end, well, we may have a yard left or a yard and a half or a half a yard. We've got more left on the end than the beginning. Now, in the beginning, there was a remnant in the beginning. And it was a small remnant. There was, back to the tabernacle, the outer court, the holy place and the holy of holies. There was the 70 Jesus sent out. And that's the outer court. Then he had 12. That's the holy place. But then he only had 3, didn't he? The holy of holies. And then there was really, really one out of them who really achieved unto that place, and that was John. So that's, and that, then there was the church at the beginning of the age, and the power that was in the church and all. And then, but the scripture tells us that at the end of the age, it shall be greater than at the beginning. And so this remnant that's at the end of the age is that which is left at the end of the bolt that ordinarily is discarded or sold for a piece of scrap or sold for somebody to make a quilt out of or something. It's the little piece at the end that really doesn't have a practical use. Where are we? We're the remnant that the world thinks has no practical use. Mm-hmm. But that remnant that the world thinks has no practical use is that which will turn the world upside down. Mm-hmm. It's that which will do the mighty works of God with the power and authority and dominion of the power of God. But they're the discarded of the secular world, of the denominational world, religious world, political world. They are the discarded, those that are considered to be worthless. And God says he's going to take those and do with them what we can't even imagine. It pays to desire to be part of that remnant. Because with that remnant, God's going to turn the world upside down. And that remnant exists every place where the name of the Lord Jesus is named, and even some places we think it's not named. And God's going to stir over in Tibet, Nepal. Over there, there's a great revival going on today because one man determined to stand against the powers of Satan. It is forbidden over there to name the name of the Lord Jesus or to preach or to teach. And today there is such a revival going that there's nothing they can do about it. One man, a native over there, about 5 or 6, well, maybe about 8 years ago, really got saved, really. And he began to preach the gospel. And he got put in prison for it. And what they wished they'd have done was killed him. But they didn't. They just put him in prison. And before long, he had almost all the prisoners that he was in touch with were saved. Now, this is truth. This is up to date. He had them almost all saved. I mean, fire brands for God. And it made them so mad that they said that they put him out of the prison. Well, of course, the minute they put him out of prison, he went to it again. And, of course, as soon as the prisoners that were in there got out of prison, they went to it. And there is a revival over there today that has hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of people that are real, really serving God. Born again, there's a church arising in that nation that God is building, not man. And that's what God's turning up and doing. He's doing that in some of the continents, nations in the continent of Africa. He's doing it down in South America. He's doing it in some of the islands of the sea. But it's beginning to spread. It's spreading because there's a remnant that will not be moved. God's had a remnant all through the scriptures. He had Noah, didn't he? Noah was a remnant out of the flood. He had Abraham. He had Joseph. Then he had Moses. Moses was a remnant out of the children of Israel that he could put his trust in. Just one. But he brought out the multitude. He was the remnant. Then we come down through the children of Israel, and we had a remnant that came out of them. Just two out of the multitudes. Two. Joshua and Caleb. Only two. But the remnant existed. We come on down through, and the remnant exists down through. Elijah thought he was the only one. He said, I'm only left. And God said, oh, no. I got some more over there, too, besides you. So God's got some more. He's got a remnant. And we come down, and the children of Israel got carried away to Babylon. And looked like they were done away with. But God had a remnant, didn't he? Daniel, who became second or third or second in command in the whole nation, the remnant. And three Hebrew children who wouldn't bow their knee. They said, if we burn, we burn, but our God is able. And that's the determination that has to be in our lives, that God is able. If I perish, I perish. What did Esther say? If I perish, I perish. But God. So God will have a remnant. And it's up to you and me, really. We're going to be part of that remnant. And I desire to be part of that remnant. Rather, and that remnant exists. You see, that remnant, they've gone on. But that existed. And so as today, if we go on before the consummation of all of this, we still can be part of that remnant. That group that the world thinks is, you know, look at and think, well, it really, they think you're kind of the scum of the earth, you know. But God says that His Spirit will rest upon us. And it's not by might nor by power, but it's by my Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. Amen. Amen. And in Joel, it says, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion, the place of praise, and in Jerusalem, the church, there shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, and in the remnant whom the Lord shall call. So deliverance and praise and worship is found in the remnant. So I want to be part of that where God says that He dwells. And over in Revelations 12 and 17 it says, and the dragon was wroth with the woman, or the church, and went to make war with who? The remnant of her seed. The remnant that was left of the seed of the church. The true church. The true called out ones. A lot of people think that that applies to the whole. It doesn't. It applies to those who stay and are faithful. It says, to make war with the remnant of her seed, which did what? Which keep the commandments of God, and who have the testimony of Jesus Christ. Amen. And then, so, this thing that people say, and that tradition tells us, and we've been taught, that we don't have to pay any attention to God's commandments, is heresy, and it'll keep you from the remnant. It's better to be a fanatic concerning the things of God than to not have the fullness of God. In Revelations 22 it says, 13, 14, and this is at the end, they say, people say, I'm not supposed to keep the commandments, or they're done away with. Jesus says, I am that I am, the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. And then he goes on to say, blessed are they that do his commandments. So if you can find that, if you don't want to be part of the remnant, well then you go ahead and forget about what God says in His Word, that He never did change, and you'll make eternity because the blood of Jesus has bought you. But I want to be one that rules and reigns with the Lord Jesus. And it's going to be the remnant that's going to rule and reign with the Lord Jesus. And over in Obadiah, it says, the last verse, Obadiah says, and saviors, not savior, it says saviors, plural, shall come upon the Mount Zion to judge the Mount of Esau, and the kingdoms shall be the Lord's. Saviors shall come to judge, to bring judgment, and then shall the kingdoms be the Lord's. Who are those saviors that do the judging? They're the remnant. They're the overcomer. They're the intercessor. They're the marked ones. They're the called out ones. They're those that Jesus said, if it were possible, they would be deceived, except for the very elect's sake, these days shall be shortened, so that the judgment of God be brought upon the earth. And it's my desire and purpose to be one of those who judges upon Mount Zion, who judges the Mount of Esau, who judges the kingdoms of this earth. and the kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdoms of our God and His Christ. And then shall the King come to be King and take His rightful possession, and we shall be His subjects, and we shall rule forever and ever and ever and ever. Eternity, ages without end, holiness unto the Lord shall be our theme. Holiness unto the Lord. We don't know what we shall be, but when we see Him, we shall be like Him, for we shall be as He is. And what that is and what it matters is immaterial. We just shall be. And that's the important part. Then what eternity holds, we cannot comprehend or imagine. But God is not a God that just sits down. God is a God of creation. God is a God of movement. God is a God that throughout the eons and eons and eons of eternity, there shall be always something new that God has for us. And we can't fathom. You cannot think, I don't care what how brain you've got. You can't fathom God and that which is prepared for those who serve Him and who make Him Lord. Is it worthwhile? Holiness unto the Lord. Holiness unto the Lord. What will it matter whether we should or should not, or did not feel that the commandments were to be kept? Isn't it better to keep them? Isn't it better to search them and find what they are so that we can be part of that creation that God has out there in the eons of time for those who love Him? And not just to enter in and be able to come inside the gate and be part of the multitude, but to be part of those who He says, come and sit with me in my throne, and I'll call you my son. Make that your desire. And that's not given to everybody. Don't be deceived that place is prepared for everybody who names the name of Jesus. Salvation is free. For all, whosoever, for God so loved the world, that whosoever, I'm glad that we're all whosoever's. But then He says, work out your salvation. Run the race to receive the prize of the high calling in Christ Jesus. So let us run that race with a determination to be all that we can be for Jesus. Amen. Amen. The remnant is a despised few who make Jesus Lord. Not Savior, but Lord. Lord. Lord of lords and King of kings. Jesus is His name. The sweetest name man ever heard and shall ever know is Jesus. 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 Oh, the blood of Jesus. A fountain open, flowing from Emmanuel's veins. Let sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all my guilty stains. We've all got guilty stains. But Jesus says, His blood washes as white as snow, and God can't see Him anymore. So when the day of judgment comes, Jesus will stand up and say, these are mine. I've already judged them. Enter into your rest. Then the rest will have to be judged. But I want my judgment to go ahead before, so that I've already been judged. And I will not have to be judged at the great white throne day of judgment, because my judgment is taken care of today. Because I confess that He is Lord, and to Him be praise and glory. Amen. Amen. It's a high and worthy calling, and only to those that make it the desire of their hearts will achieve under that calling. And it's not a path that's easy to walk because the stones and stumbling blocks, the things across the path to fall over, are varied and many. And we have to pick our way through the thorns. But God says that in all the trials and all the temptations, that He'll never leave us nor forsake us. And He'll walk by our side. We may not realize it or know. But Jesus says that He'll never leave thee nor forsake thee through the trials and temptations. And the trials and temptations are part of life. And they're part of that winnowing that He's bringing us through to see if we'll come forth as pure gold. If we will survive the fire of the furnace. And each one of us, the fire is turned up in a different way. Everyone has a different way that the fire comes. But it's up to us to be faithful and determined that I will serve the Lord. And with Joshua of old, we stand and say, as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. And Father, as for me and this house, we determine today that we will serve the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Father, in the name of the Lord Jesus, I take authority over every spirit of infirmity in this place today, in every physical body. I take dominion over every spirit of infirmity in this building. And I bind you, foul spirits, and I break your dominion over our bodies in Jesus' name. And I put the healing virtue, the scars and stripes of the whipping post to bring healing and restoration. And I break the satanic powers of the inherited curses of sickness and disease. And I break your dominion over every person present in this building today in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I command you to loose God's people and set them free. I bind you, foul spirits of infirmity, and I break your dominion over this congregation, over every person in this building in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I command your body to receive the healing virtue of the Lord Jesus. I break the diseases. I break the infirmities. I speak to the spirits of infirmity, to the spirits of disease, and I break the curses of it. I break the dominion of it in Jesus' name. Sickness, eye problems, ear problems, intestinal problems. I break the dominion of it over our physical bodies in the name of the Lord Jesus. Joint problems, problems in the muscles and in the nerves. I break your dominion over this congregation and over these people. And I command in the name of the Lord Jesus the healing virtue of the Lord to flow through these physical bodies in the name of the Lord Jesus. And I loose the healing virtue of the scars and stripes of the healing of the whipping post to flow over this congregation and the blood of the Lord Jesus to move down over us and to bring healing and restoration in the name of the Lord. I speak healing into this
world. Yes, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God, Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah, Lord. Yes. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name, hallelujah.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.